hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 144. It is May 3rd, 2015. Today we join forces in prayer with those who have become the target of evil men. Start with some ICC articles. ICC is International Christian Concerns. They're persecution.org. You can look up a lot of these things yourself, I understand. The centuries-old coexistence of Muslims, Christians, and Jews in the Middle East is experiencing a true and real dismantling. According to Cardinal Sandri, the prefect of the Congregation for Eastern Churches, the Cardinal was speaking on Wednesday at a symposium in Bari, organized by the community of Sant'Egidio, with the theme, Christians in the Middle East, What Future? He compared the indifference and inaction of the international community to the tragedies which have for years consumed Syria and Iraq. He compared all of that to the washing of Pilate's hands before the crucifixion of Christ. Although he acknowledged the complexity of finding a solution to the crisis, including those touching on the internal relations of the different elements of the Muslim faithful, the Cardinal said it was a scandal that vested interests and balance of power politics is being put before the survival of people. Well, from a worldly point of view, we have to agree with the Cardinal. Life is not just. Life is not fair. But we knew that. And Jesus made it even more plain to us that life was going to get even more unfair for his people. That we would be persecuted. There would be situations like have developed in the world right now. And that we would bear the brunt of it. That's nothing new. So, although I read this article to you to let you know what's going on with religion in the news, as it were, I want you to understand that we are not bound to the political solutions. God's able to send an earthquake here and a deliverance over there and get people out of prison. He's able to send his angels into those prisons, minister to his people, and he's able to do 100 other things if we just ask him. And our job is to pray for the believers. We're not to be marching or making it a political thing that can be tossed around. But to be constantly in prayer and constantly asking, God, what do you want me to do beyond prayer? If there's something you want me to do, is there someplace I should go? Is there something, some money that I could send to the right person? Be sure you send it to the right person, by the way. There's a lot of groups out there asking for your money. And not always spending it like you want them to spend it. So be very careful. Do a lot of research before you start sending money anywhere. But there's things to do. And you need to find God's purposes and will for you in this whole matter. In Russia, also from ICC, Baptist pastor Pavel Pilchuk completed a 5-day prison term on 18 April. A fellow Council of Churches Baptist told the Forum 18 news service from the Russian city of Orel on 1st of May. He was punished by an Orel court for refusing to pay a fine he insists was unjustly imposed for allegedly organizing an open-air meeting for worship without informing the city administration beforehand. He had been fined about 2 weeks' average wages in August 2014, a fine later doubled for non-payment. Half the fine has now been removed from him, as if he had paid it, Baptist told Forum 18. 20,000 rubles for 5 days imprisonment. But the original 20,000 rubles remains, and he'll continue to appeal against this. Exercising freedom of religion or belief in public spaces continues to attract hostile attention from law enforcement agencies, often leading to administrative prosecutions and 5-figure fines. Legal amendments were introduced in October 2014 in an attempt to clarify where religious ceremonies may be freely held and to specify that not all events require prior notification of the authorities. Judging by court verdicts from early 2015, however, these changes have as yet had little apparent effect. Form 18 has found a total of 13 individuals, 9 Jehovah's Witnesses and 4 Muslims, are known to have been fined since the beginning of 2015 for holding public religious events. Form 18 notes this. Unsuccessful attempts were made to punish 3 more, one of those a Protestant. Well, pray for these dear people. We're entering into a fight not just for religious freedom. By the way, what do you do that would get you arrested should the laws change in America? Some of them are changing, by the way. Can you show support for these brothers and sisters by doing some of the things that they cannot do anymore? It was one of the things that motivated me to go to the street. I'm not a street-type person. I'm not an evangelist-type person, for that matter. But I saw that my brothers and sisters were going to jail for these kinds of things, open-air things, preaching, teaching on the streets. So I wanted to go and do that, too, just to show some solidarity that way. It's not the best and only motivation. There were other things going on in my mind. But I think we need to unite with them. I think we need to do the things they cannot do, even if it's in a different country. When they're put in jail, let the Lord raise up others who are not in jail to do the work that they would have done, so that the enemy is defeated one way or another. Let's move to Vietnam. Sorry about my throat. Still continuing to aggravate things here. Also from ICC, as Vietnam celebrates 40 years since the end of what is commonly known elsewhere as the Vietnam War, its government faces accusations of failing to ensure the rights of its citizens to religious freedom. In Vietnam, we still have a government that shows two faces, the friendly and welcoming face on one side and the oppressive face on the other. These words are attributed to by Open Doors to a Vietnamese Christian whose name was withheld, and they provide an insight into a country which, on the one hand, is reportedly close to making positive reforms to its laws on religious beliefs, but on the other, it's accused by the UN of gross violation of religious freedom in the face of constant surveillance, intimidation, harassment, and persecution. So we are to pray for those who are in authority, right? You need to ask God to break through into the minds and hearts and practices of governing authorities, that they will release God's people and favor them in some way. It's not wrong for God's people to be favored. We talk about persecution. It is truly a promise of God, but it's also biblically correct to see God's people freed. Sure, they went to jail, but they got out. So let's ask for some of that first century stuff to come back into the church of the persecuted peoples throughout the world. Persecuted people of God, I'm talking about, of course. Well, we can't talk about too many countries without talking about Nigeria again. Nigeria and Boko Haram, the Islamic group of that nation. I was asked to kill my parents on the day I was captured, said 16-year-old Babagana, a former Boko Haram child slave. I had no courage, so they killed them in front of me. That's how Boko Haram operates, he told me when I saw him in March in Borno State. They first take out your parents, so you have no one else to fall back to. This may be the most tragic fact about the fight raging in northeast Nigeria. It's a war waged by children against children. Minors make up nearly a quarter of Boko Haram soldiers. Some recruits are as young as 10 and are inducted by raids on villages. They're brutalized and forced to commit atrocities on fellow kidnapped victims and even on their own families. Militants kill children who attempt to escape from captivity. Recently, village militias have been enlisting young kids to fight against Boko Haram as well. And the plague is spreading. Now there's something to get your teeth into, prayer-wise. Would you pray that God would rescue the children? The children. The children. Moving over to Open Doors, reports say that nearly 300 girls and women have been rescued from terror camps in northeastern Nigeria. As several news organizations reported today, the apparent rescue of 200 girls and 93 women who had been abducted by Boko Haram Islamic terrorists in northeastern Nigeria. According to CNN, the group was rescued from Boko Haram terror camps in the Sambisa Forest by the Nigerian army on Tuesday. However, it's unlikely the rescued group included any of the over 200 girls who were abducted last April, from a school in the village of Chibok. The Sambisa Forest is a stronghold for Boko Haram and is not far from Chibok. The army said the rescued women and girls are being screened, and they have not spoken to their families yet. According to the military, the Tokomber camp, which was raided, is the most notorious of several camps. It's where the training of small children by Boko Haram is said to have occurred. In recent weeks, Nigerian troops and vigilantes have moved into the Sambisa Forest to seek kidnapped girls and drive out Boko Haram terrorists. Praise the Lord for the rescue, and pray with Open Doors that the women and girls will receive adequate physical and emotional care. Continue to pray that the Chibok girls will also be found and brought back to their suffering families. Open Doors partners with local churches to strengthen, support, equip, and provide assistance in northern Nigeria, and so on. Nigeria is ranked number 10 on the Open Doors 2015 World Watch list. And then we move finally to Sudan, also from Open Doors. In an election boycotted by the opposition, Sudan's president Omar Hassan al-Bashir won re-election to extend his nearly three-decade rule for another 5 years. According to the official results announced on Monday, Bashir won 94% of the votes. The African Union Observer Mission confirmed last week low voter turnout in the elections, saying it would not exceed 40%, and said this could be partially due to the boycott by opposition parties. The European Union, United States, Britain, Norway, all criticized the election, saying the lack of a promised national dialogue left Sudan without an inclusive political process. President Bashir, 71 years old, will take the oath of office on June 2. He came to power in 1989 when he overthrew the elected Prime Minister Al-Sadiq al-Mahdi in a bloodless coup with the help of Hassan al-Turabi, the leader of the National Islamic Front. Following the coup, Bashir allied himself with Turabi and with his backing began institutionalizing Sharia law in Sudan. In 2008, the International Criminal Court accused Bashir of committing crimes against humanity and war crimes in Sudan's Darfur region. Sudan ranks number 6 on that Open Doors list. Under Bashir's rule, the church has seen severe suffering. According to the World Watch League, his regime is authoritarian and wants to control the life of its citizens. Apostasy is criminalized, punishable by the death penalty. It's very harsh, especially on non-Arabs. The people in the Nuba Mountains have faced indiscriminate bombings in the government's effort to root out rebels. A large number of Christians reside in that Nuba area. Pray that the Lord will strengthen his church in Sudan to live out the gospel despite the dangers involved. Also pray for two evangelical pastors being kept incommunicado in an unknown location by Sudan's intelligence service. Well, there you have it for today. Thank you for being here. Let's pray with David. Psalm 64:2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked.